Now KRWG News. It's 6:45. Good morning. This is KC Counts. The New Mexico Supreme Court says a landmark energy law that moves the state toward more renewable energy must be applied as regulators consider plans by the state's largest electric utility to close a major coal-fired power plant. The court ruled yesterday. Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham's administration had argued that the Energy Transition Act passed last year should apply to Public Service Company of New Mexico's application to close the San Juan Generating Station. Questions were raised when regulators opted to consider a portion of the application as part of an ongoing case that was initiated before the law was enacted. Lila June Johnston spent the first week of the legislative session in Santa Fe fasting to bring attention to climate crisis. The 30-year-old scholar, organizer, and artist announced last month that she'll challenge New Mexico House Speaker Brian Egolf for his seat in the Democratic primary in June. KUNM's Kaveh Movahed talked with Johnston about her message.
I'm doing a 7-day fast for the next 7 generations. I am half Diné on my mom's side. And on my dad's side, he's from Texas, so he's European mixed with other plains tribes. And one of the ways that we pray is we fast. It allows us to think more deeply about what we're fasting for. There's a Native American principle that says we should always think about the effect of our actions on the next 7 generations to come. So I'm fasting for 7 days to pray for the next 7 generations to come and to build policy that doesn't just take care of next fiscal quarter, but takes care of 7 generations to come.
I heard you had planned to camp outside the roundhouse, basically sleeping here during this first week of the session, but that there was maybe some question of whether or not that would be allowed. I guess first, why would you do that? And and then second, what happened?
I wanted to do that to prove to everyone that I wasn't eating, because we're in a funny world where people will think, oh, she's probably just going home and, you know, pigging out and watching Netflix. But I wanted to prove, like, no, this is a real stance. This is a real commitment, and this is a real dedication to the next 7 generations to come. And I wanted to camp out there day and night to show who and what I stand for. So a local church took me in instead, so I'm still not going home at night.
This isn't just about methane pollution, which was one of only a couple of brief environmental mentions in the governor's State of the State speech this week. What was she missing?
Well, for one thing, it's interesting that the methane advisory panel, the co-chair is a former oil executive from Marathon Oil. Why are we assigning the fox to mine the hen house, so to speak? Why are we assigning the oil industry to regulate the oil industry? And that's not the only instance that this has happened. That's one thing. Another thing is the Permian oil basin is the largest oil producer in the world, and we sit on part of it. Texas sits on the other. And we are exporting incredible amounts of emissions, and we are not including that in our energy transition plans.
Okay, there are a bunch of ideas that make up your 7 generations New Deal, like integrating indigenous science and sustainability practices and reducing corporate influence in politics. How are those messages being received in front of the state capitol during the legislative session?
There's only been incredible support. I was expecting more hecklers or maybe not hecklers, but people who had true dissent. But we haven't come across that, and that's actually very surprising to me.
What are a couple of the most important steps government can take right now, this session, to improve life for New Mexicans?
There's a lot of things. One is community solar. This allows communities to decide what kind of energy they want to have in their energy mix, and they can pool their resources together and create that.
That was Kaveh Movahed speaking with New Mexico State House candidate Lila June Johnston. Funding for legislative coverage is provided in part by the Thornburg Foundation, the New Mexico Local News Fund, and KUNM listeners. Many New Mexico farmers growing hemp have had to destroy large portions of their crop because of high THC levels. This year, Texas farmers will enter the business, and as the Texas Standard's Michael Marks reports, the state is trying to draft rules to prevent problems.
Although there's no shortage of people in Texas planning to get into the hemp industry, many of them have serious concerns about how it will be regulated. One of the main points of contention is how the plant's THC levels will be tested. If a plant contains more than 0.3% tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, it's considered marijuana and has to be destroyed. Some people, like Kevin Calloway, a tomato farmer from Hondo, think that that 0.3% figure is too low and will cause lots of growers to lose crops and money.
Texas is hot, dry, and windy. All of those are stressors. Hemp produces high THC levels when stressed.
Calloway considered raising hemp, but decided against it. He says that it's just too risky under the current rules.
You just can't be a pragmatic farmer and risk taking your farm to the casino.
Others bemoan the fact that Texas does not have a certified seed program yet. It means it's harder to verify the quality and composition of seeds before buying them. According to Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller, those kind of comments will help his department draft the final version of the rules.
We had some tweaking and tuning to do. We had some really good comments in there, so, and we'll go through those. Our legal team will go through them, and I think we'll have a good program, so I really appreciate the input.
The rules are available for public comment online until February 10th. Commissioner Miller said he hopes the agency will start issuing licenses to grow hemp by mid-March so growers don't miss the spring planting season. In Waco, I'm Michael Marks.